Joseph did everything he could to avoid Potiphar's wife, but one day he was caught out. He was working, he went into the house, the other servants weren't around, and she saw her chance. She makes a lunge for him, saying, "Come to bed with me." But he turns to run, but she grabs him by his new chief attendant's coat, and as he runs to the door, the coat is torn from his shoulders and left in her hands. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, they say, and this was certainly true of Mrs. Potiphar. She screams for help, she calls for witnesses, she accuses Joseph of attempted rape. When her husband comes home, she spins her story. "Look, here's his coat, you can see for yourself that he was in my bedroom." And then she adds, "This is how your slave treated me." He's lost his status, his privilege, and his coat, just as he did when his brothers decided they weren't going to put up with him any longer. And Potiphar, burned with anger, took Joseph and put him in prison. And not just any old prison, but the king's prison, where Potiphar would have been able to pull the right strings to have him put away for good. Notice that Joseph doesn't even get to speak. He was falsely accused, and he can't fight back. He's rendered helpless by the evidence that is left in her hands. This is the man who was desperate to have his dreams vindicated and was convinced of his own righteousness because of his father's favoritism. Here's the man who has worked so hard to rise to the position that he now holds. How would you feel? But God was teaching Joseph another lesson. This was another class in the school of preparation. I've mentioned before how I was falsely accused last year, and I've done my fair share of complaining about that, looking for vindication. And it really hasn't helped, it's just harmed more relationships, and I'm sorry for how I've acted. But Joseph has taught me to shut up and let God vindicate me in his own way, in his own time. At the time of going to prison, Joseph didn't know how or when he would be vindicated by God, but he is willing to keep quiet and let God. And it's a lesson I'm having to learn, and the Spirit of God is using a man who lived thousands of years ago to teach me. Isn't that wonderful how God works in our lives today? You see, here's what we need to remember. If you are a child of God's and you've been hurt by being falsely accused, God feels that more deeply than you do. But if you try to defend yourself, he might say, "Oh, well, okay, I was going to do that, but if you want to do that, that's fine. I'll leave you to it." And the result is a big mess. But if we are quiet and say nothing, God will step in and we shall be vindicated, either in this world here and now or in heaven. When Joseph was put in a defenseless, impossible situation, he could have felt sorry for himself. He could have ranted and raved. But he realizes that he's in God's hands and he gets to work. So once again, we see in verse 21 that the Lord was with him. And the Lord vindicated Joseph by showing him kindness and granting him favour in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. So Joseph was blessed in prison with God's kindness and help, and like Potiphar before him, the Egyptian royal prison warder was blessed by Joseph's presence. Once again, Abraham's offspring would be a blessing to the nations, in keeping with God's promise. And the warder, like Potiphar, was left with nothing to do. He paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. If only I'd learned to shut up and let God myself a little bit sooner. We're all a work in progress, aren't we? And I'm still in God's prep school as much as you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, Peter asks, "But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." So what is that example? Well, after his arrest, Jesus was subjected to two trials, one Jewish in religion and the other Roman and secular.
In the first, many believe he was led up these steps to the home of the high priest, where he was interrogated by a hastily convened meeting of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Jewish Council.
He knows from the prophecies that he has to be crucified, and that means he's got to be turned over to the Roman authorities. The Jews don't have the authority under Roman government to crucify anybody. In order for that to be fulfilled, you have the illegitimate trial that takes place in the middle of the night, trying to get him condemned as a heretic so that they can take him the next morning to Pilate and say, "This man is such a blasphemer, he deserves to die."
Christ's trial before the Sanhedrin began with the testimony of several false witnesses. Each failed to present a convincing reason to crucify him. Finally, Caiaphas, the high priest, confronted Jesus.
The high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming in the clouds of heaven."
Christ claimed that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And that is one of the primary reasons that the religious leaders wanted to crucify him, because he made himself equal with God.
"You blasphemer!"
The high priest then tore his clothes. "Why do you need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him as worthy of death.
So continues Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Rejoice and praise God. If you're accused of doing wrong, and you have, face your shame and take your punishment. If you're accused for doing right, rejoice and praise God, because it is the work of God in you."
Just give me a number instead of my name. Forget all about me and let me decay. I do not matter, I'm only one person, destroy me completely, then throw me away. If my life were important, I would ask, will I live or die? But I know the answers lie far from this world. Close every door.
Short prayer. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you for the life of Joseph. We thank you for the way that he endured in slavery and in prison. We thank you, Lord, that for the way that you were with him and helped him to be a success in everything that he did. Lord, please keep us from temptation of all kinds. Please keep us pure and holy by helping us to remember our love for you, our relationship with you, and how precious we are to you in your sight. And we thank you for Jesus, who was falsely accused and died on our behalf, taking our sin upon himself. Lord, we thank you for your salvation, and we thank you for the way you are changing us and making us more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.